Hey, what happened to Amazon? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Amazon has issued a decidedly downbeat sales and profit forecast for the quarter that includes the coming holiday shopping season. The stock is down 5.5% in pre-market trading now. Turns out that getting stuff to customers quickly to thwart the competition is an expensive proposition. James McQuivey is a principal analyst at Forrester Research.
The fact is the company is investing in a long-term strategic advantage, which will be one-day shipping. This is a dramatic advantage not just against other e-commerce players, but also against traditional brick-and-mortar retailers who are still the majority of retail.
Amazon also makes good money providing remote computing to other businesses via the cloud, as it's called. McQuivey suggests this is a maturing business that may not grow quite as fast in the future. Still, Amazon is not going anywhere.
Because the fundamentals in the market aren't necessarily working against the company, there's no reason to expect that this will be a portend of dramatic reversal of fortune for the company. True, there can be external global shocks, trade wars, all of these things which could diminish the retail sector overall. All the more reason for Amazon to invest in making sure it comes out with whatever gains there are to be had.
Just last quarter, Amazon hired 100,000 part and full-time employees to get ready for the holiday rush. We'll find out later today if the United Auto Workers Union will accept a contract offered by General Motors and end the big strike. These negotiations follow a pattern. One of the three major American automakers agrees to new terms, and the other two are asked to follow along. Marketplace's Jack Stewart is here.
Pattern bargaining means the contracts between the United Auto Workers Union and major automakers have basically the same wages and expiration dates. Michelle Kaminsky at Michigan State University studies labor relations.
The process is usually that all of the big three have been working at bargaining for some time and that the UAW usually designates one of them as the strike target.
In this case, GM. It's been profitable recently, and it wants to stop production at three plants, so the union had leverage there. The new terms will set the pattern for contracts at Ford and Fiat Chrysler. Now, if they don't want U.S. plant closures, they'll have to find other wins. Kristen Gicek is at the Center for Automotive Research.
Pattern bargaining is never cookie cutter. There is always something customized or slightly different.
Workers at GM stand to get up to $11,000 as a signing bonus, but they have lost wages during the strike. Ford and Fiat Chrysler will argue they should pay less, and they'll likely also negotiate over things like union oversight of temp workers. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
I should check markets. The FTSE index in London is down 0.6%. S&P futures here are up 0.1%. That's the S&P future. The Dow future is flat.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Parts of Northern and Southern California are preparing for another round of possible blackouts amid dry winds and fires already burning north and south. The power company in the north, Pacific Gas and Electric, said it's closely following the wind forecast and it might shut off power to over 5 million customers as a precaution. Marketplace's Justin Ho is following this.
Yeah, PG&E says the blackouts are happening because the energy system there relies on power lines, which, as we've seen, can spark fires. Just this Wednesday, a fire broke out only 5 minutes after a PG&E transmission line had an equipment failure. Investigators are looking into whether the transmission line actually caused the fire, but either way, PG&E responded by shutting off power across Northern California on Wednesday, too. PG&E is a public company, and its shares fell 12% on the news that it may have caused Wednesday's fire.
Now, you say public meaning publicly traded private stock, but there's an effort to make PG&E a really public company, as in a public takeover by the government?
Right. PG&E is a bankrupt company owing to its liability for the devastating fires in 2017 and 2018 in Northern California. And with the company's value falling so low, advocates have been calling for a public takeover. They say it'd be cheap, for one. Plus, advocates say takeovers would give residents more say over how the company's run. Last month, San Francisco offered to buy PG&E's grid in the city for $2.5 billion. But the question is whether the state itself will take it over. So far, Governor Gavin Newsom has suggested PG&E should be broken up, and he's also said the company should compensate customers for the blackouts, which the company says they don't do.
Marketplace's Justin Ho, thank you. Meanwhile, residents of Georgia are evaluating what they're paying for electricity. Georgia Power is the state's largest electric utility, and the company wants to raise rates about $10 for the typical residents. Some object because the parent company made billions in profits last year. Regulators are reviewing the request. From WABE in Atlanta, Emma Hurt reports.
Across the street from a state government building in downtown Atlanta, a few dozen people are angry about Georgia Power's proposed rate increase.
Not today! Not a dime!
Aaron Robinson is a pastor at an Atlanta area Baptist church. He showed up to protest with some of his parishioners.
Most of my congregants are people that are on fixed income. And whether they, you know, they're retired, they're just trying to make it, they're trying to live.
Inside the state building, regulators were hearing arguments on the proposed rate change. Georgia Power's CEO Paul Bowers testified the company needs the money to handle recovery costs from past severe storms and hurricanes, to upgrade and expand its grid, and to pay millions to clean up coal ash ponds and comply with other environmental regulations.
It has been 6 years since our last rate case, and our current rates are no longer sufficient to cover the cost of the business.
But Bowers acknowledged those answers might not satisfy some customers, so the company wants to expand low-income assistance programs, too.
We recognize that 40% of our customers make less than $40,000. So the programs that we have proposed are really focused on that.
Across the street from the hearing room, Aaron Robinson asks, why does Georgia Power need to charge more when its parent, the Southern Company, made more than $2 billion in profit last year?
If it was in a hole, if it needed the money, that would be one thing. But it's not in a place where it absolutely needs the money.
The Georgia Public Service Commission is expected to make a decision in December. In Atlanta, I'm Emma Hurt for Marketplace.
And the International Energy Agency has a new calculation. Offshore wind power could meet all the planet Earth's energy needs, whole world, powered by wind. The Paris-based group says the cost of harvesting offshore wind will drop by 40% over the next 10 years or so. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.